I was talking to the Lord, and I don't know how God speaks to you here, but you know, God gave me something to talk about, but then you have to have a structure to it. You have to have something to go along with it. It's like when Noah knew the flood was coming, he had to build an ark and all that. He had to have more than just a topic, or more than just knowing that he had to build an ark. He had to know exactly every detail on how to do it. That's how God is. He leaves nothing to chance. Everything to God is important. Church, family, your individual life with Him. Everything has a... It's all important. You can't just do things your own way. You can't say, well, this is important, this is not important. Because you don't know. I don't know if today my family is more important than church, or our ministry is more... You don't know. You think you know, but you don't. Only God knows everything. And we only know in part, we see in part, we see through a glass darkly. So you always have to ask God everything. Should I go to Africa? You know, when do I go? Why do I go? Who do I go with? Do I go with anybody? Do I go by? And you don't know. You just don't know all the details. So when God calls you to do something or tells you to do something, you have to find out all the details about it. Now, do we do that perfectly? No. Did I do my thing perfectly? No. It's just you have to begin that way. Everything begins with God. You have to ask God everything. Now, the most important thing that we need to know about life, of course, is Jesus, but His relationship. And I noticed on the thing today that Jim's going to talk about knowing God tonight, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about this morning, about knowing God. The most important thing in life is relationships. All your problems in life have to do with relationships, not money or, you know, whatever you might think your problem is, health. Everything goes back to relationship. And everything in life starts with God. So God wants us to know Him. Just write a little bit on the board here. Man, there is tons of these things up here. Okay, so everything begins, so you have to know God. Knowing God. Whoops, it's Gad. No one wants to know Gad. That's would I be from Chicago or Boston if I said knowing Gad? Okay. There's two ways you can know God. There's lots of ways to know God, but these are just the two I want to talk about tonight. Because I notice as I walk through life, my own life too, I notice that people know God in basically two ways. They know Him. This is the way most people know God. It's through the law. Or you can know God through the gospel. Those are two basic. And it's a lot more personal than that, and it's a relationship. Because in the gospel, you're going to have a relationship with God. Through the law, it's going to be impersonal. So most people relate to God on an impersonal basis. God, I'll pay my tithe, you take care of me financially. I will have faith. I mean, people turn everything into a law. Faith now is preached in a law way. You've got to have faith, you know, whatever. As if faith's a quality of the soul or something. So everything ends up in the law. Even the gospel ends up being law. And I was reading about why we do that, and we do that because we want people, because you know, and personally we want to have something to do, we want to feel like we have value and we have worth and we're going to make it. And so we make up these laws to ourselves. Even the Jews did it. Jesus said they made up their own law, right? They have their own righteousness. And we do, and the same thing I see everywhere. And that's how we relate to God, as if He was just a lawgiver. So we're going to read a little bit in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. It's talking about a covenant that God made with people, with the Jews and with us also. And it says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every one his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. So what God's desire is not that Pastor Jim knows God, that I know God, that, you know, the dad knows God, or that, you know, some preacher knows God. God, our Paul, the Apostle Paul knows God. He wants everybody to know Him. And that's the crux of your life. And and that's the thing we spend the least time doing. And knowing God is more just reading the Bible and knowing some facts, knowing that God created the earth and knowing who the Antichrist is and knowing all these things that are interesting to know. But you get to know God personally. When God speaks to you, it's to you. Everybody wants to have a personal word for somebody else, but God has a personal word for you today, every day. And first, God wants to tell you He loves you. Every morning, I can't even begin my day without knowing. If I don't get that first, then the rest of it's just a waste of time. Got to know first, personally, God loves you as an individual. You know, not He doesn't love you because you kept the law or because you did the right thing or because you woke up early and prayed or because you read your Bible. He loves you just because He loves you. You have to know that first. And if that's unconditional, then your whole life is different that day. Amen? It's just different because then there's no pressure. You ever felt like somebody wanted you to do something and you didn't really want to do it, but you kind of felt pressured into doing it? Have you ever had that happen? Of course you have. Everybody's had that happen. I have it happen because I'm that kind of person. I always want to do stuff for people, so they'll tell me something I need to do, and then I don't want to do it. I don't even feel like the Lord wants me to do it, but I'll do it anyway because I just want to help them out or whatever. Then that's the way most people relate to God. I really don't want to keep the law, but I got to, God. You know, He's going to get me or be mad at me or something. So knowing God is the same way. And how you know God through the law is really pretty devastating. It'd be like having an angry father. I don't know if you grew up with one of those fathers. My dad was kind of like that, I guess. I think about this sometimes, but my dad was actually, he'd take me fishing and we'd do fun stuff together, but that's the things I remember of my dad. I don't remember, you know, the spankings and all that, although I did get those things, but I don't remember that. What I remember about my dad is I remember the going fishing and, you know, helping me do things and all that. That's the things I remember of my dad. And that's how I know God. That's how I remember God. Every day, He spends time with me. He loves me. He wants me to have a relationship with Him. So everything in life begins with your relationship with God. If you get that wrong, and then what follows that is your relationship with your parents. If you get that wrong, then every other relationship in your life will be wrong. I notice that people that don't forgive their parents, they don't deal with God, they don't deal with their parents, then every other relationship, their spousal relationships, their relationship with their kids, everything else falls in line with that. And all those things will be messed up. So the most important relationship you have is with God, but your most important human relationships are with your parents. But really, the only relationship you need is God, because all those other things will work out. I mean, it just does. You know, Jim does that teaching low-maintenance relationships. Well, that's the way it really is. If you work at something, have to work at relationships, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong with you. If you're working to maintain it, if you're worried about it, if you're, you know, desiring that relationship with that certain person or whatever, something wrong. You know, I have one of my best friends is Marshall Bruflot, and we hardly ever spend time together. I need some water. But we hardly ever spend time together, but, you know, I call him now and then and everything, but we never, ever, ever, ever worked on our relationship. Ever. I mean, sometimes we don't call each other for 2 or 3 months, and we don't care, or sometimes we'll have... And we can say whatever we want to each other. Marshall can tell me anything, I can tell him anything, because we're not working at anything. We're not trying to like each other, or trying to have a something going on. We're just, God put us together, and that's basically it. And there's nothing to it. There's not a whole lot of substance to it, I guess. I don't know. There is substance to it. You know what I mean. It's like being married, you know. My wife, well, you know, she's my wife. I don't have to be anything or do anything or be something, because she loves me unconditionally. I love her unconditionally, so we're not trying to work at something. It seems like we are, because we fight and sometimes, and we have disagreements. We never communicate. We visited this church, and this preacher preached, and she got a totally... She said, well, this is what he said. I said, no, this is what he said. We heard the same exact sermon, but we got two entirely different interpretations out of it. And I was right. Totally right. She was wrong. And I just think that way. That's how I think. Some of those people, here's how you have to think. I don't know why I'm talking about this. But you always have to... Because then it makes your repentance more real. When you go for something, you just... And that's just how... This is how I think in my mind, how I am in my heart. I go for things 100%. Even if it's wrong. You know, I don't maybe not know. I might be thinking. Awesome. But I might even be a little, you know, you might be deceived in what you're thinking or doing or whatever, but then the repentance more. If you do things half-hearted, if you're not, you know, the Bible says if you're lukewarm, God will spew you out of his mouth. So when I sin, now you got to realize that when you sin, you it's to the death. And when you repent, it's to the death. There's no in-between. When I sin against my wife, for example, it's bad. I mean, I hated her. It's that deep. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying. It's that deep. It's not just some little, well, I made a mistake or whatever. It's you sin to the hilt. And then when you repent, it's a big deal. Otherwise, you're just saying you're sorry. And it's kind of a flesh. It's human sorrow. Well, I'm sorry I did that or whatever. But if you really meant it and it's to the death, you understand what I'm saying? It's to that degree that you've sinned. Those who have sinned much, you know, or they have been forgiven much, love much. So you've been forgiven. All of us have been forgiven tons and tons and tons. That's why we love God. But that's an everyday relationship thing. That's what we're talking about, knowing God. That's how you know God. God chastises you, corrects you so you could become protectors of his divine nature. I correct my kids not because I don't like them or because they did something bad. I'm correcting them because there's something better for them. I mean, you got to have that attitude. I don't correct my kids because it's inconvenient. Their behavior is inconvenient to me. I always do it for their good. Now, I was going to use some examples, but my kids begged me not to talk about them. But one of my kids stayed out too late. Man, I was mad. It just ticks me off. Some things, you know, men get ticked off about. That's one of my things I get ticked off about. Or when a kid is disrespectful or just certain things just irk you, you know, because you're just like that, I guess. But then, you know, Leah reminded me. She goes, don't be mad because you're the same way. I go, yeah, that's right. But I still had to correct her. I still had to do the punishment thing. But there was no, you know, malice behind it. Like, I don't even know what word to use. There's no vengeance or anything like that. I was just like, yeah, she needs to be corrected because this is the right thing to do, blah, blah, blah. And it all worked out good. But that's the way, that's the attitude. When I spank my kids, my littler kids, sometimes I'm laughing. I just can't, I don't know. I can't have an evil thought to my kid. That's how God is. He corrects you, but he's not mad at you or... has any kind of malice, or it's all because for your good. Does everybody understand that? Because a lot of people, they correct their kids. It's anger. You inconvenienced me. But my life is now not my own. My life is for my kids, for my wife. I've given, you know, when you start growing as a Christian, you realize that God's taking care of you. He's met every one of your needs. Then you can give your life to others. Now, that hasn't translated so much out into beyond my family, but I'm not that mature. So you just so that's just how it works. But anyway, the most important thing you have in life is your relationship with God. It's the only thing, really. It's not the most important thing. It's the only thing. And the way God deals with you through the law is always to lead you back to here. But here you're gonna have death because you couldn't do it perfect. Because the law says be perfect. You know, one thing we talk about in this church, we're not going to make the Jews jealous by keeping the law. I hate to tell you that, but we're not going to. Things are going to make the Jews jealous is mercy that we've received. First of all, receive mercy. They're not going to be impressed if you learn Hebrew or do whatever they do. Do the dances and all that. They're going to be impressed by your mercy. They're going to be impressed by God using you. They're going to be impressed by you knowing God. Why, you know God. They'll know. And you don't have to... So anyway, but I don't know why I said that, but death. So the law is always going to bring death. It'll bring legalism, which is death too. Because the law says do perfect or die. Do or die. Now, gospel is different. This is where you get to know God. This is a outward thing, and this is more inward. This is something you do because it's in you. Jesus is in you to will and to do. So this is love. As a matter of fact, when you're a legalist, you end up hating. Talked to this guy. He was the other day. He was a gosh. You guys are probably thinking I'm bad because I know all these people. He's like a white supremacist type guy. I just happened to run into him and I was talking to him about stuff. But gosh, their whole. That's how I think God even brought him in to use him as an example, maybe. I don't know. But his whole relationship with God was based on law. Keeping the law. And he was like, everybody that broke any kind of law in the Bible, death. He goes, well, what are we going to do if all homosexuals? Death. How about this person committed adultery? Death. So he wanted to kill everybody. But the problem is he had to kill himself. But your relationship with God is not the law. It's not doing the deal. It's relationship. If you have the proper relationship with God, your life will not be legalist or you will not be licensed. People are so worried. I never worry about my kids falling into sin, ever. I never have. And people worry about that all the time. But I never do. Even if they did, I know that they've learned enough about relationship that they'll go for this. I mean, I would much rather be in love than this. Because the law part always causes condemnation, always causes fear. Remember Moses, when God came down to give him the law, the mountain shook, there was lightning, and it was a scary thing. The law is scary. And you can't relate to people that way. If you relate to people that way, you will end up destroying every relationship you have if you relate to people through the law. And God does too. If you perceive God as an evil lawgiver, going to kill you kind of God, then you'll never relate to him in a proper way. Because you can't. It has to be through love. It has to be through forgiveness. It has to be through power of the Holy Spirit. Does God want us to do good and keep the law? Yes, he does. But the way you go about it is not what you think. Because you gotta go through Jesus. He's in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's not through keeping some law or some law that you made up for your kids, or some law you made up for your parents, or some law you made up for yourself. And we do it all the time. We turn everything into a law. Like I said, I gave the example of you turn faith into the law, you can turn worship into the law, you can turn anything. Your relationship with your wife, your kids, you can turn everything into a law. Now, do we have rules and all? Yes, we do. we have all those things. We have parameters that God has set up for a lot of things. But those parameters are only there to keep you alive so that God can have a relationship with you. God wants to have a relationship with you. A real, live, intimate, you know, making love kind of relationship. That's what God wants with you. He doesn't want you to keep His law. He wants you to come to Him. The thing that always ticked God off about Israel was not that they broke the law, it was that they wouldn't come to Him. They wouldn't admit that they were wrong. They wouldn't submit themselves to Him. And that's the hardest thing for men, I know it is for me, is to have a relationship with God. The other stuff's easy, you know, going to church, reading my Bible, doing all the good things. That's not that hard. But then when it gets down to intimacy, then that's difficult. Because then you have to get into true worship. You have to get into God knowing your gut, you know. God already does, but then He starts knowing your guts, and you're just like, and men don't get into that stuff. I don't. I'm a very shallow person. I'm about as shallow as a person. I just ask my kids. I laugh about everything. I mean, the shallowest person, I think, in the world I am. But that's just the way I am. And I don't, you know, in spiritual things are, you know, I mean, I'm just talking about in natural. Spiritual things are for women and for, you know, milquetoast men and for pastors and people like that that don't know anything. But that's not true. But, you know, that's just how I think in a natural. So I have to be careful to make sure I maintain a relationship with God. Because I've never been the type of person, I'm not a disciplined person. I'm not the type of person that can just say, okay, let's say like, you know, I'm going to give up drinking coffee or something. I just can't, I don't have any power in my life to do anything. I don't know if anybody else is like that. It's like, you know, when I was in college, you know, when I drank a beer, you know, I drank a case of beer. When I eat a bag and one M&M, I eat the whole bag. I'm just that type of person. And Leah's just the opposite. When I met her, she was a secretary. She could take a bite of candy, her candy bar, set it on the desk, take another bite a week later. And I can't relate to people like that. Because, you know, so I'm really, and she did too, she knows she does, but I'm just saying I need God bad every day because I just can't maintain, like people say, well, why don't you just do it? But I've never been the kind of person that can do that. I can pull myself up by my bootstraps or whatever and just do that kind of thing because I'm weak. And I know I am, but the one thing is I know every day I need that. I don't need the law thing. I need the knowing God thing. I need the relationship thing. Because that's how I relate in life to everything. Like I can't, you know, you just have to relate to God in a way that's real. Because if you don't, then you'll end up either a legalist or you'll give up. And it's like a rock. And I mean, for a long time, you know, I've been going to church here for like 12 whatever years. And for a long time, I really struggled because this is a rock and a hard place. You don't want to go into, you don't want to be a legalist. I mean, God, I hate that. I just hate that. But I know I'm going to turn into that. And then in license, I can't go back to that because, you know, I got kids, I got a wife. I can't be just a debauched person. So what do? See, so you're kind of in a conundrum. You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. So you don't know what to do. So between legalism and license, there's something better. There's walking in truth. There's walking in relationship to God. And that's where you have to walk. Because both the other ways, and you will do both. I'm just telling you right now, you'll do both. All of us have done both. Every day I struggle with that. Every day you'll struggle with it. But there's a better way. And that's relationship and how God relates to us. And here's how God relates to us. He relates to us through His Son, by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit always speaks of Jesus. So God's going to relate to us in a certain way. He's going to relate to us through the gospel. Because either otherwise, remember, you'll either be a legalist or you'll get into license. Is that right? Did I spell that right? All right. Cool. I never was very disciplined at spelling, though. No. Okay, so through the gospel, we always look at the law. God, you know, I'm not cutting the mustard. I didn't make it. So we have to, so the law, or Jesus' example, and we're to follow his example, right? So Jesus is an example, number one. Example, I know we all learn this all the time, but this is, I'm just trying to give a little bit different perspective maybe than Jim does, but through the example, we see Jesus. We're looking at Jesus through a glass. And we don't see Jesus exactly how he is. Well, if we saw Jesus exactly the way he is, it would be pretty devastating to us. Don't you ever have those times, those days where you, I don't know, you get that kind of smart aleck? I do sometimes. I'm like, well, sure, Jesus, you're doing okay because you're up in heaven. You're perfect. And kind of like the brother that you never liked because he was perfect. And you're the bad kid. So anyway, Jesus is an example. So we see Jesus. We see that he was perfect. He never made a mistake. You know, he did everything right. So we look at him and we think, well, I can't do that. And that's good. That's what we want. You know, we don't want to wear the little thing that says, what would Jesus do? We want to, or we do. That shouldn't make you try harder. It should make you give up. So if you give up, now not give up in a way you're going to go to license. You're going to give up in a way that, God, I can't do it. Right? So you're going to say, God, I want to be a legalist, and I want to be, or go to license. It's just so much easier. That's why a lot of pastors' kids, you see, and I've known a ton of them, they go to license. Right when they graduate from high school, they get out from underneath their dad's pastoral thing, then, man, they're in the, you know, I think even Howard Stern, the guy on the radio? Is that right? The real debauched guy? Is that right? He's a pastor's, his dad's pastor, or used to be or something, but I mean, people just go from one extreme to the other because they don't have any, there's no life. I've seen it happen a million times because Lee and I used to work in a youth group. Kids, their parents are legalists, and every one of their kids just goes berserk. I mean, to the extreme. I had a friend in college. His mom and dad were the dean of students or something at Christ for the Nations. Anyway, they were big muckety-muck somewhere. And, man, he was the most. I wasn't even a Christian, and he'd scared me to death. He was so debauched. I think he's gotten saved since then, though. So, but anyway, so legalists never help anybody. You just drive people to the devil. You either make them religious like you, or you'll make them totally debauched. So you don't want to go that way. So what you want to do is you want to look at Jesus. Every day you want to see Jesus. You don't want to work for him. You don't want to help him out. You don't want to do anything. You just want to look at him. You want to worship him. You want to fall in love with him. You want to, that's what you want. And once that happens, God's going to show you some things. First, you're going to see how much he loves you. Wow, he's a perfect example. He made the law, but he still loves me. Well, that should set you free right there. So now you're free. Now you can easily look at your life. If you knew that God loved you the way he really loves you, you would not have any problem ever looking at yourself. Look at Jesus. Jesus will show you. And you can't ever look at yourself except through Jesus. You can't just carnally look at yourself, okay, you know, I got drunk last night. You know, you're looking at yourself like, because men, like I said, men are shallow. You're just going to look at the outward stuff. But God has really deep, there's deep, 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 deep stuff that God wants you to look at. You can't see your sin. You can't see who you are really without looking at Jesus and letting him do it. Look at Jesus, the Holy Spirit will show you stuff. But if you know he loves you, you're not afraid. It's like, it's a good example, I don't know. It's like a good surgeon. If you know the guy is the best heart surgeon in the world, he's never had anybody die on the table, you know, then you're going to maybe trust the guy to do your heart surgery. It's kind of like Jesus. If you know he loves you, you know he's not going to make a mistake, then he's going to cut you. He's going to get to the root of your problems, your sin, and it'll be real. It won't be some phony outward thing. It'll be real. And there's a lot of stuff, and it's scary. I'm telling you, to go there is scary. Because everything you thought about yourself, everything you thought about others, you're wrong. You know that scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar? You'll just find out how big of a liar you are, how you lie to yourself, you lie to everybody else. I tell you, this life is vain. The thing I learned in my life through all this is my life is vain. There is vain deceit out there. There is vain glory. Everything you thought, if you thought you were a great person, you're deceived. You think you're a loser, you're deceived too. You're not a loser, but you're not great either. God is good. The thing that makes you great is God. The thing that makes you good is Jesus. It's not you. But once you see the depth of who you are without Jesus, I'm not talking about in Christ stuff right now. I'm talking about real, in the soul, Jesus working on your soul type thing. It's devastating. It'll drive some people crazy. But it won't if you do it the proper way. If you look at it, if you know Jesus loves you. See, the problem with a lot of people is they will skip the gospel and they'll go right to the law. If you go to the law and somehow, and it's usually the devil, will show you how what a rotten, stinking scoundrel of a person you are, you will be under condemnation and you will not win that battle. You will end up being on antidepressants and all kinds of stuff. But if you go the gospel way, through Jesus, then you'll be set free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Jesus will set you free. Jesus would never, ever show your sin without already having everything worked out for you to be free. And what happens, a lot of people, they see something, and it's not even the real problem anyway, then they have to go another route, drinking or drugs or legalism or something. But if you go the way Jesus wants you to go, if you see your sin through His eyes, it will set, I'm just telling you right now, it'll set you totally free. You won't need anything. You won't need, prescription drugs. You won't need a psychiatrist. You skip all that stuff. That stuff is a waste of time. Just go to Jesus. First, find out how much He loves you. I never discipline my kids unless they know I love them. It's a waste of time to do that too, because then it's just going to make them angry and bitter and all that. So Jesus is the same way. If Jesus loves you so much, then he will correct you, He will chastise you, and it'll always lead to godliness. It'll go from glory to glory to glory. And it'll change your life. And that's how you relate to God. But you have to know God loves you. If you don't know that, just get that. It's all right to go back to the... Whenever I'm having problems in my life, I always go back to that. That's the most basic, fundamental truth that you... Baby Christians get that. But that's where you're at every day. You have to go all the way back to the beginning every day. Jesus, if you skip that, everything else is useless. I don't care what gifts you have. I don't care if you give your body to be burned or whatever, like it says in Corinthians. That stuff's useless. You have to know that. You have to know Jesus loves you. But it has to be real to you. It can't just be, yeah, I know God loves me. It has to be really there. Then the rest of this can happen and you'll be free. Not just free in your spirit, but free in your soul. Free where it really counts, and free in your body. And that's where works comes from. That's where the fruit comes from. That's where love, joy, peace, goodness, long-suffering, that's where all that comes from. So the example, like I told you, it's going to be to the death. The kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violence take it by force. It's a violent thing. It's not just some little cutesy, oh God forgive me kind of thing, or a Catholic thing where you go to the priest and all that. This is to the death. And that's the way you have to do it. Remember, there's a scripture that even says, you have not resisted, is it the devil or sin? That scripture, anyway, I just kind of thought of that. Unto death, or unto blood. So it's a death, this thing, Christianity is a life and death thing. Not physically getting killed, but it's a life and death thing. Every day, you have to choose life. This is how you choose life. Choose you this day. Choose life, gospel, or choose death, the law. Okay. So the example is going to lead me to Jesus, which is going to lead me to mercy. So we got the cross there. So the example that Jesus has is going to lead me to the... And this is Jesus... This is actually what I'm showing you here, Jesus' ministry. So his mercy... Here, we'll make it red. We'll make this all red. So his example always leads me to mercy, which always leads me to power. He's in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that's the Holy Spirit's job, to give me power, to show me Jesus. And once I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, then I can do the things. Even my left hand doesn't know what my right hand's doing because I'm not counting it or looking. Now all I care about is Jesus. I don't care about my works. What's the biggest concern in the body of Christ? Everybody talks about it. That's being an example, being a good church, but it's all done in the flesh. You know, it's all smoke and mirrors and big screen TVs and all that stuff. It's all some, but it has to be real. There's nothing wrong with all that stuff, but it has to be real. So a real Christianity is knowing Jesus. A real Christianity is not starting a ministry or, you know, especially you men, you have to, and women too, you have to, it's your family. Take care of your family. Take care of yourself first. You know God yourself. And teach your kids. Teach your wife. Teach people you know, your friends, whatever. Then you can worry about ministry later. But why should you go out and save the world and your kids go to hell or your wife or whatever, your marriage is falling apart and all that kind of stuff? Take care of first things first. Take care of your family. Take care of your kids. Take care of yourself. Now, what good are you if you don't know Jesus? What good am I to my kids if I don't know Jesus? I'm nothing. I tell you what, if I don't do this, if I'm either a legalist or I'm into license, then I do nobody any good. Some people think license is better. I'm one of those people. My wife thinks license is better. I think legalism. I think license is better. She thinks legalism is a little bit better. Because at least legalism, you're doing something good, I guess. I don't know. I'm just the opposite. I think legalism is man at his best. It's deceitful. It's evil. It's even worse than anything I can imagine. If you talk to a legalist, like that guy I was talking to, that white supremacist guy, man, you talk about anything, any kind of truth or any kind of gospel or anything like that, man, he wanted to kill me. I mean, they want to kill you because you don't believe the way they believe, and it's to the death for them, I guess. But it's vain. I mean, it's like so empty and vain, and it's not going anywhere. But this will get you somewhere, I'm telling you. If you could live like this, if you could let Jesus be your example, but first know that he loves you. Well, this stuff doesn't even work, because then you're just doing this legalistically too. But if you let Jesus love you, really, not, yeah, I know Jesus loves me and blah, 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 because I'm good or whatever, because I deserve it. But if you just love Jesus, if you could see yourself the way you really are and Jesus loves you, man, it'll make you cry. And it does me. You know, I think about that sometimes, or I'm spending time with the Lord and he tells me how much he loves me and I see what a rotten scoundrel I am. I mean, can't you see it? I might see it all the time. I could see somebody and I said, man, I'm exactly like that. If I was in that situation, I'd probably do the same thing. Blah, 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 goes on and on and on. If you can't see that in your own life, then you're going to really struggle with this because you're going to be a legalist. But if you can see that you're just exactly like everybody else, then it's easy. Like when I was in Africa, it was really easy because we had this teaching for so long. It was easy for us to, one minute we're talking to some guy, you know, it's living in a gutter or in a box or something. And the next minute you're talking to Arthur Yo-Yo, who is, you know, some big muckety-muck politician. They're the same. What's the difference between him and him? Nothing. I mean, circumstances are different, of course. But in God's eyes, what if God, you know, wants to minister to this guy and just blow him off? It might not be a smart thing to do because, you know, the guy was helping us out. But you know what I mean. I'm just saying, What's the difference? Who cares who you talk to or who you know? Or don't you know Jesus? Isn't that enough? It's enough to know Jesus. It is more than enough to know Jesus. So you don't have to have a certain friend. You don't have to manipulate so-and-so to get a job or to get promoted in the ministry or to... There was this guy in Africa, he was... It was so neat because Marshall is just kind of... You know, he's just one of those guys that just doesn't... He just does whatever the Lord wants him to do. He doesn't care about what people think. But there was this guy that... Gosh, he just used Marshall so much. I mean, just used and abused him. Marshall did all this unbelievable work for this guy, and it was funny. But it was even Marshall's ministry, really. And the guy, at the end of the ministry, whatever they did, they fed some poor... I guess they fed some poor people, and they did a big deal, and it was on TV and everything. But at the end of the whole thing, and Marshall did all the work. It was just funny. He didn't care, but... The guy took all the credit for it and had him and his wife and all of his ministers stand up in front stage of Marshall, and he asked Marshall to take the picture. That was pretty funny. But anyway, you know, you don't care because who are you doing it for? You're not doing it for man, you're doing it for God. And God reward you. It says if you do that in secret, God will reward you openly. So anyway, I better stop here. But the thing is, it's really what I was trying to get across today, is just know God. And you can read all this in the scriptures. You can read Galatians and Hebrews and Romans and everywhere, all over the Bible, you can read all about this. So, I mean, it's not this message is anything new. But the thing I just want to encourage everybody to do and exhort everybody to do is to know God, to know Jesus. Don't be a legalist. Don't be, you know, a licensed guy either. Be what God wants you to be, but you can't do it unless you spend time with this guy doing his deal. And it's not a legalistic thing you do every day, it just naturally happens. When you're worshiping God, when you're praying, when you're dealing in everyday life, these things come up. And then you have to deal, and it's life and death every day. There's no small sin, there's no little... This is life and death stuff every day. It's fun, though. I mean, it's fun because it's exciting. I mean, to me, it's exciting. Every day I blow it. Every day Jesus loves me. Every day He examples me. Every day He forgives me. And every day He empowers me to do His good pleasure. So that's an everyday thing. I mean, you can't just... Lee and I were talking about this on the other. You can't just think about this. You can't just... know it in your mind. You got to do it every day. You got to let Jesus' example every day, like that brother was saying. You got to worship God every day. That's making love to the Lord. That's love. That's intimacy. That's, you're right in there with the guy, and He's showing you things, and He's talking to you. It's like a real relationship. It's like my wife. You know, she wants me to sit down and talk to her and take her out on dates and, you know, waste time with her. That's what God wants. It seems like such a waste of time. And that's how guys are. I know guys are this way, but you want to be out there doing something, doing something. Norm's like that. I mean, gosh, he's busy. He didn't have time to spend with God. I'm just kidding. But we are. I mean, I'm like that. And I'll avoid God when I know I'm doing bad. You know, I got these little tricks I can trick God. Can say a real shallow prayer. Oh, God bless this day. Amen. But no, God wants to spend real time with us. So spend real time with God. Let him chastise you. That way you won't be exposed to the world. I hate when people find out how rotten I am. So I let God, it's better to let God do it. But the thing is, you got to be real. You got to just say, God, show me. I'm ready to be shown everything about my life. And it won't take so long. The reason why everything takes so long in Christianity is because people resist. You resist. I resist. It takes so... And God. Amen? But it has to be real. It can't be legalistic or it can't be licensed. It's got to be exactly right. It's got to be like the ark. It's got to be built out of the right kind of wood. Your life has to be built out of the right kind of stuff. Can't compromise. You can't use fake wood, or it can't be a mobile home. It's got to be a real house. It has to be something real. So however you get real with God, it has to be real. It can't be fake and phony, and can't be like that. It has to be exactly real. Let's use one example, then I'll quit, okay? Because I have to use this because the girls are, you know, get mad at me. You always have to embarrass your family. As a man, that's your job, is to embarrass your family. No, it's like our basketball team. We practice, we are what we are. You are what you are, right? Everybody's a certain height, a certain amount of talent. You got what you got. You don't got anything less, you don't have anything more. You got what you got. So when you go to the game, you're exposed. Especially if you're playing, you're not exposed if you're playing some crummy little team that you can beat by 50 points, because that's not even a trial, that's not even a test. But when the trials of life come, when that wind starts blowing, that storm comes, it better be real. When we played Longview the other night, we beat them by 6 points. But you know, our girls were tested, because you know they had to step it up and play. And that's the same with us. Storms of life will test you, and if it's real, it's real. If it's not, it's not. I don't know. Pastor Jim doesn't know. Only you and God know. So when that storm comes and your house is blown down, then you know you messed up. You were either legalist or you were out getting drunk or something. So when that storm comes, I'm just warning you now, when that storm comes, now all my stuff's going to be burned up, probably most of it. But if I can have 5% of my life, that'd be pretty good. If 5% of me is Jesus, and I think I'm doing, is that right? No, it's not right. But if so, you know, you just got to have something that's not going to burn. Because every man's work will be tested with fire. And some of us are just going to make it into heaven. That's it. Everything else is going to burn. Amen? I know this is kind of, it's not that sobering, but it's not that sobering. But you can't care about it, though. Don't worry about the burning part. Just get with Jesus. Get the fire insurance. Get the, you know, the sprinklers and the great foundation, which is Jesus. If you got the foundation right, you're building on that foundation properly, the storm will come, and you know, you could be sitting in the middle of New Orleans when that storm hits and you're okay. But if your house is built on sand, it's built on legalism or license, then everything burns. Amen? So, know God. Everybody say, I'm going to get to know God. You already know Him, now know Him. You already know Him, because you're born again, you're Spirit-filled, there's no excuse. You get to know God, then everything, hopefully, well, I know. But you have to have confidence, you have to trust God. So all this thing is about trust. I'm trusting God. Don't ever trust a person. Nowhere in the Bible, there's not one scripture in the Bible that says trust in man. God will do it. Don't trust your wife. Trust your husband. Don't trust your friends. Just trust God. Okay, so let's pray. I went way over time. I'm not near as bad as Jim, though. Father, we just thank You today, God, that we trust You, Lord, that everything that we need is in Jesus. And Father, we just thank You that not only for salvation, but also for sanctification. Also, God, that we can actually have actual righteousness, so we can actually have good works in this world because of You. Not because we did it, but because You did it in us. So Father, we just thank You for that, and we just thank You for Your Word today. We thank You for that this Word would go deep. Not just that we would think about it, or you know, it's a nice little study or whatever, but Lord, that we would actually do it. That we would actually see Jesus, that we'd actually know that God loves us and that He sees us. He sees our sin. He sees everything about us, and so that it's easily, that we could easily repent and let God chastise us, that we could be partakers of His divine nature, so that we could actually do good works And we might not even know what they are, God. I'm sure these people here in this church right now have done tons of good works and they don't even know about it. They probably didn't even think anything of it. But it was something that you did and it was precious. And it changed their life. It might have changed somebody else's life, Lord. But we don't count it, Lord. We just look to Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. So, Father, we just thank you for that. We just thank you for this day. I ask you, Lord, just bless everyone here, Lord God, that they would not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And this is the most important thing to do, to know Jesus, to let him live through us, through the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray you baptize everyone today in the Spirit. Lord God, that we may do the works of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for these things. We rejoice in you. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace. Amen.